Hello.
Hi, nice to meet
Nice to meet
you.
you. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. So you're wine lover, so it must be nice to be in a castle.
Is your first time?
Not in Italy, but in Rada, yes. First time
Okay.
for you.
For me, it's the first time.
Yeah.
And what
Nice.
distance you're around here?
20, I'm doing the 21
Nice.
on Sunday.
Welcome to Cross Paths, the podcast of the UTMB World Series. Every month, two runners, one elite and one amateur, come together to discuss trail running and much more. They share their passions, inspirations, and get to know each other better. Today, Spanish elite runner Pau Capel, winner of the UTMB 2019 and four-time winner of the Trans Gran Canaria, meets Lea Viñas, a young Peruvian runner based in Paris. Together, they talk about the essence of their passion for trail running, the balance of their lifestyle, and homemade electronic music. We hope you'll enjoy this moment where their paths crossed.
Pau, I'm glad to have the opportunity to meet you. Even though most of our listeners know you, allow me to introduce you in a few words. So now you're 32 years old. You're from Catalonia in Spain. As a child, you dream of becoming a footballer, but this adventure came to an end in 2012 when you injured your knee. As part of your recovery, your doctor recommended trail running, and the following year you won the first race attended. Your skills led you to ultra training in 2014 when your progress was meteoric. You finished third at the Trans Gran Canaria and won the TDS in 2016. Came second in the Mute Madeira in 2017 and then won the Trans Gran Canaria four times in a row and a magnificent victory in the UTMB Mont Blanc 2019. You're a professional athlete, but you're also a sport trainer, a writer, a podcaster, a wine maker, and for a few months now, on a more personal side, the young father of a little girl. Does this short summary seem right to you? Do you have anything to add to this stage?
It's okay.
You've come with an object that's particularly close to your heart. Could you tell us what it is and what it means to you?
Yes, I have my ring of my wife.
Okay.
And it's a connection of my wife and my daughter because we are here in Italy. And yeah, when I proposed to my wife to do a marriage, it was here.
In Italy,
in Rome. So that's why I wanted to come, because after the race, we will go to Rome and repeat the same situation with my daughter. So that's why
Amazing.
My ring is important.
It's funny because I have one, but it's from a gin bottle.
Okay.
Not the same context.
But more or less the same. So Laia, you are 26 years old. You are young. You were born and raised in Peru. You are the daughter of a Peruvian mother and a Catalan father. I like it.
Yeah.
You went to a French high school and now you live in Paris. As a teenager, you played tennis and volleyball at a good level. It was only after arriving in France 4 years ago that you really discovered running during the first COVID lockdown. You developed a passion for the sport and ran your first half marathon in Paris on your birthday. You took advantage of your many travels to take part in races. That's how you signed up for your first trail in South Africa last May. When you arrived in Paris, you worked in luxury hotels and restaurants. Now you are changing careers to work in sport and ideally running. Do you have anything to add to this brief introduction?
No, some seems pretty complete.
You have also brought something with you. What is it?
Yeah, it's Cocho. It's my little pig, peluche.
Yeah.
It's an object I bring with me every time I travel. And it's been with me in every race I did. So
yeah
I put it in my backpack next to my bottles. Yes.
Oh, so nice.
Yeah.
And yeah, when you run long distance or 20 kilometers, how thin is this pig?
Stinky.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, I mean, my longer distances is 40, so it's okay.
And she has the same piercing like you.
Exactly. The nose and
so
the
nice.
Ears. Yes.
No tattoos?
No, not yet.
Nice.
So in running, sport, how important were sport and outdoor activities when you were a child?
When I was a child, I practiced like you tennis. So for me, it was my main sport.
Okay.
When I was, I think, 10 years old and then to 15 years old, I played not really well, but I played like a child.
Mm-hmm.
And then I practiced also football and yeah, another sport like golf or nautic with boats. So yeah, when I was young, all my family were always really sport family. And I played all of these sports with my brother, sister, and it was an excuse for my parents to do activities together. So then when I started to be older, it was when I started to run.
So I assume this performance wasn't that present at that time.
When I was young, I didn't think about to be a professional. Never. For me, the sport, it was an excuse to not be at home studying. So it was, okay, I practice football and then I played matches. I trained with the colleagues of the school. But yeah, it was an excuse to do activity.
Okay.
Because when I was young, I was not a quiet guy. So I needed movement all the time. And that's why I practice a lot of sports.
Okay, spend the energy.
Yeah. You played several sports as a teenager. Mm-hmm. Was this desire on your part or did your parents encourage you?
For tennis, it was my parents. Mm-hmm. But then I really enjoy it since the beginning. I think it's the only sport that has this competition sense.
Mm-hmm.
And for volleyball, it was the volleyball coaches from school that take me to the team because I'm left-handed.
Okay.
So apparently it's good to have a left-handed in a volleyball team. So that's how it starts.
In volleyball, I think that you had to train a lot because all the time you jump, no?
Yeah, but I was super young. It was at school. So for me, it was just an activity to spend time with my friends. Nothing really important for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Paul, you start racing by accident. How do you see the origins of your career today? Do you think you will have had a such sporting success if you continue in soccer?
I think not. So I started running because in soccer I was not good. I was normal in soccer. But then it's true that when I had the accident in a match, I was 19, 20 years old.
Okay.
So it was the moment of my life that the Football Federation in Catalonia called me to play with them, so in a good level. But it was the time that I had this injury.
Oh.
And it was like, oh, fuck, I can't.
Yeah, and how did you manage that emotionally?
It was really stressful at the first time because it was football of five. I don't know in English, but mm-hmm. it's a small football. But yeah, it was a difficult moment to manage because I needed activities, I needed to move myself. I was studying the engineering at the same time, so it was too much stressful for me. And also the moment of my life, it was good in soccer. And then when I finished this period of injury, when I had the operation, surgery, mm-hmm. and all of this, it was the moment that I started run, only to recover, not for anything else. The doctors say, Pau, to recover your knee, you would have to run. And I say, okay, I will try. And then when I try, wow, it was magic. Maybe the same like you, I'm going to ask you, but the moment that you are in the mountain, in the middle of the forest, no people is there, you are in silence, and you choose your way, it's like, wow, in soccer, I had never felt this.
Yeah.
Always the people was hitting you or doing bad things to you or saying bad words. Really stressed in football, and then in the mountain was different. I'm alone, and yeah, this feeling I wanted to explore more, and that's why I started to run.
Okay, so the injury was more positive than negative at the end of the story.
Yeah, it was the start of everything.
Yeah. So as a soccer player, I mean, do you have a personality that you admire at that period?
Yeah, I was really passionate when I was young in soccer. So I'm from Barcelona. My team is Football Club Barcelona.
Okay.
Normally, when the team of Barça played in the Camp Nou,
mm-hmm.
I went there with my father because he had two chairs in the stadium. So for me, it was always my idols. And for me, Carles Puyol, it was the best one for me. I always say the same. Carles Puyol, it was not the faster, the taller, the stronger, but he had the attitude that I wanted to have in my life. And in the school, I had the same problem. I was not the best student. In soccer, I was not the best. Or in tennis, I was not the best. But I had this attitude.
Yeah, the charisma.
Always I wanted to finish first. Maybe I couldn't. Or mm-hmm. maybe I couldn't win the matches. But always I wanted. Carles Puyol, for me, was my idol when I was young. You two discovered running almost by accident. What did you like the most out of it?
I think it's this freedom feeling. You can run whenever you want, whatever you want. I'm a pretty solitary person. So running is something you do by your own.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the main sides of running that I like the most. And I love to travel. For example, yeah. You cannot play tennis whenever you want. So I don't feel this with running.
Mm-hmm.
I like to travel. I like to discover the city running.
Yeah,
so it for me is like the perfect combo.
Yeah, that's a good excuse. And what athlete inspired you when you started running and why?
At the beginning, I didn't have a particular one. Now I can say I have, Casquette Verte.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this Parisian crazy guy that trains in Paris. And why? Because I really like his non-filter way of speaking. He seems very spontaneous, but at the same time, pretty calculative. So this antithesis, I found it pretty interesting.
And when you think in an athlete, you think in performance or you think about what this athlete can give to you, can motivate you?
It's not about the performance. Well, nowadays, Casquette Verte has a very good ones. But it's more his way of thinking, his state of mind, how he speaks in public. It's like everything that comes with, not only the performance side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's more the person than the...
Exactly. It's more the personality. And I really admire this mental side from ultra runners.
Mm-hmm.
It really astonished me. So yeah, that's one of the main reasons.
Nice.
So Paul, your track record is amazing. I like you to react to this sound extract, which will bring you back memories. I think you know what I'm talking about. So can you give us more details on this extract? What sensations does it remind you?
It's complicated now.
Yeah, too much feelings and emotions.
Too much. And also I have different feelings, one good and one not good. One good because it was my best moment of my career. So 2019, the year that I trained a lot, I was really focused on it. And also, yeah, it was a year that changed my life after this winning. And yeah, obviously it was my dream when I started run. I remember that when I was, 22 years old or 23, I remember that this was my goal. I want to run UTMB. And then when I start win some races in Catalonia and Spain, I start to think, okay, I can run and maybe, I don't know if I can win. But it was really far goal.
Yeah.
But then when you can touch it and you can finish first and you can win the UTMB, it's like... you don't enjoy the moment that you should do it. Maybe because it was my first time and I didn't know how to manage the situation. So I remember that I finished, I won, I enjoyed the moment. And the day after, I had the press conference, I had the media, I had a lot of stress in social media, the sponsors, events, and I didn't enjoy how I would enjoy today. I won the best race in the world, that for me is UTMB. Yeah, I have to enjoy. Today I'm thinking, I don't know if I will win again. I will try, for sure. I'm training for it. And for me, it's a pity to think about, I don't know if I will enjoy how I should enjoy it.
Okay.
So that's these two feelings. So it's a really good moment, obviously, but I have this feeling that if I lift again now, maybe I would put off my phone, my family with me, and we would enjoy it different.
Yeah, maybe that's a good balance. You find yourself alone in the lead after only 5 kilometers on this day that made your performance even more amazing. Is a plan to lead the race since the beginning? It was premeditated. Does it boost you or how do you feel about
it? It was not planned run alone, but it was planned to the time that I did. So I had the times really strict to go in each checkpoint, in each refreshment. So I knew that in Saint-Gervais, for example, I had to arrive in 1 hour 50 and I arrived in 1 hour 50. And then in Col de Bonhomme in 3 hours 30 and I was there and I was following my times. So then the other athletes were following me and maybe they had other times and it was the strategy of each athlete. And this happened. Now it's less happening, but years ago happened in all the races. All the athletes has the times. and then they run. And today, the history of trail running, I think, is changing because now a lot of athletes start really fast and then explode. This happened to me also. For example, in UTMB 2 years ago, I start too fast and then I explode. And yeah, I think that the people now is risking a little bit more than years ago. But yeah, when I won the race, I was following my speed.
Since you were following your speed and everything that you kind of plan, were you surprised to perform at this level when you won and you crossed the finish line?
I was surprised winning the race.
Okay.
Because it was not in my plan to win the race. My plan was finish in 20 hours, 30. But I was more surprising to see the face of my mom, my dad, my coach, my sister, that they were after the finish line. And I remember that I was looking at them and I was like, fuck, I'm winning the race. And they were crying. And it was, I think that they were more surprised than me because I was running only. And running is really easy. It's only run. But then, you manage a lot of things, obviously.
Yes.
You have feelings, you have, you start to think in your life and your, how is your atmosphere in your life. And it's more complex, no? But it's only run.
Now that you say it's only run, I was wondering, is there an emotion, a thought, a feeling that is pretty hard to deal with during those ultra distances?
When you are running ultra distances, you have sometimes that you start to think in bad feelings.
Yeah.
So I explained maybe 1-2 times, but 2 times in my life, I was so, so tired. And I started to think in, okay, if somebody is coming here and now kill me, for me, it doesn't matter. And that's why your mind sometimes arrives in an extreme that you can't control. I think the best athletes in the world are the best athletes, not because they are faster than they are the best athletes in ultra distance because they can manage the mind and they can control everything. And when you are not really good in your life, you can see in athletes that they are not running well in ultra distance. If you have a good balance in your life, you can run well.
Okay.
I speak a lot, so it's your turn. How did you go from running to trail running and then to competition? What is the impact of a beep on you?
I think it's because of the amount of podcasts I heard about trail running. After listening for a year, maybe 2 trail running podcasts, mostly of them from Green Cap, I said like, okay, why not? So I should try one, and I choose like a super random place, South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my first one. It was pretty hard actually, but...
You didn't have another race?
It was my first one. It was my very first one.
Yeah, but it's far, South Africa,
to
start a race. So you like a lot to travel, eh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was pretty hard for me. But at the same time, I was like, okay, I have to come back. And I think it was the beginning of something.
And how did you feel in these first races?
Since it was in Africa, it's not next to Paris and it's not even more far from where I come from. I was super excited. I was super scared because it's somewhere I don't know, people I don't know. But I think it's amazing. It's a super nice feeling when you mix this scary side with the excitement. It's something that really touched me. So yeah, it was super nice.
And any particular difficulties you weren't expecting?
I wasn't expecting nothing, and actually never expect
something. That's a good way to start.
Exactly, yeah. I just wanted to finish in good health.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was recovering from an injury, so I was like, okay, it's going to be fine to cross the finish line. It's enough for me.
And some good moments when you were running that you weren't expecting also?
The landscapes. We start at night, so when I saw this sunrise, it was amazing.
And you stopped and take pictures?
I'm that kind of person. Yeah, I will stop. So you better not be behind me because if I see something that I really like, I will stop.
Yeah.
I will speak with people. I spend a few hours speaking with a guy, then with another girl. This is what I
make friends.
It made me fall in love with trail running, I think. Yeah, this sharing site is something that you don't have when you run in a city.
I say always that when I will retire or when I will stop to be professional, I would like to run races like this.
Yeah.
Because I have never run this. And for me, it would be go, run, enjoy, take pictures, stop in the checkpoints, drink a couple of wine here in Chianti if you want, And yeah, and then finish the race.
Yeah.
And after the race, you have friends. Yeah. This guy in kilometer 10, this guy in 20, this guy in 50. Or,
yeah.
And then you can go take a dinner with them and yeah, do a party.
Yeah, actually, yeah, at the end of the race, I finished the race with a guy and we were eating our burger and he invited me to a party in Georgetown. Oh. I said, yeah, sure, sure. And I was sure I was going to go. Then I arrived to my place, I took a shower and I was dead. I was like, okay, I cannot. But yeah, it's the kind of relation you can get if you run in this mood. Yeah. How much do you like training? Is it sometimes difficult for you to stick to a plan and go running? Or is it always a pleasure?
If I'm honest, I don't like training. I like sometimes, but I would prefer go and run. I say that run and training is different. So I like run. I hate training, but I have to train to be professional. So I train every day. And some days when I finish the training, I'm happy. And some days I hate my job, but yeah, it's my job. Nobody likes the job every day. So it's my case. So I love the competition. I love big number. I love to run fast or and suffer during a ultra race. But on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, when I have to do a fartlek and I'm tired, I hate training, but I have to do it.
Yeah. But for you, what's the main difference between training and running, because you run on the trainings?
But run is run. I have my watch, I start and I'm going to enjoy. I go to this mountain, I go up, down to the other mountain. I can run 5 hours, 4 hours, 6 hours, and you enjoy. And you stop, you make videos, photos, and it's really funny. But then when you train is, okay, you have your training, you must to go fast when your watch say, okay, Pau, go fast. And maybe you don't want. You want to enjoy and take pictures. And that's why when I finish this season, after UTMB normally, we need to stop 3 months, 2 months, depending the athlete, to stop running because we need to relax, do other sports because training is so hard sometimes. So, Laia, and you, what do you enjoy most about racing? The discipline it imposes? The expenditure of energy, the feeling of progress?
About racing is the feeling that comes with every race, the emotions, the euphoria. The energy and the feeling of progress, I don't know. Because, I mean, I started like almost 3 years ago and I'm still running the same distances. So there's a progress, yes, but I don't have like a main goal to win a big race or something. So what I enjoy is just this euphoria part of every race. And the discovery site.
And in your daily life, so for training and this, you plan your nutrition or you plan something or you run?
I try to plan, but it's not easy for me to follow a running plan because I study, I have 2 jobs. Mm. So sometimes I have the energy, but my body doesn't lead me to go running. Yeah. And since I work in restaurants, sometimes like you spend a lot of time standing, walking nonstop. So your legs can feel pretty exhausted in the morning. Yeah. And are you disciplined in terms of nutrition? Have you been in Italy for a few days? Have you snapped a pizza so close in the Chianti race?
I eat normal. So I don't have a special nutrition like, okay, I have to weigh this. Rice or pasta, no. I eat normal and I know what I have to eat. And some days I eat a croissant if I want, and some days I eat an ice cream or a pizza. So if I eat a pizza, I have to train more. That's the deal. My weight is 62 kilos and in the race I have 64. I have a problem.
Okay.
Racing came late in your life. Has it changed your habits much? What place do you give it in your everyday life?
It changed my habits, yes, not that much. But for example, I'm conscious that I go out less now than before. Because I know that if I go out or I sleep late or I drink or I smoke, my running session will not be good. It gives a balance in my everyday life. I mean, I have a favorite moment of the day is the morning, but sometimes it's just not possible. So I try to adapt to my work planning. What's your pre-race routine? Do you have one? Do you have any little rituals or superstitions? How do you approach the race from a psychological point of view?
My routine, normally in the week of the race, I train 1 hour, 1 hour 30 per day, but only running, not training. Yeah, I go run. Sometimes I push a little bit more, but yeah, really normal and controlled, because if not, then in the race, I'm tired. So my routine is this. And about the food, the routine is like every day, so it's normal. So I don't like to change the breakfast. I don't like to change my lunch, my dinner, because if not, then the body says,
what are you doing?
Danger, what is happening?
Yeah.
And I like to take the same breakfast, or if I want to eat Nutella, I eat Nutella a little bit. So all I eat, it's in control. So not like, okay, I am going to eat 3 pizzas, no, because tomorrow we'll explode. But yeah, it's very normal.
During the last UTMB Mont Blanc, after 126 kilometers, you quit. How do you generally mentally handle dropping out of a race?
Well, last year it was different because I was injured before the race. So weeks ago, I had to do a surgery process for my knee. And then it was an infection inside. It was inflated before the race. And I was taking some pills for this. And then when I started the race, I knew that I had a big problem on my leg. And in this kilometer, I had the leg, like 3 legs. And I was like, oh, if I continue, maybe I explode or my heart explode, or I don't know what can happen. And I stopped. And then the day after, I was inside of the hospital during 10 days. Every day I was in the bed because the doctor say, you have the infection on your leg, but maybe if you move a lot, the infection can go on your heart and some people die of this.
Wow.
And it was a big infection. This was not a problem for my mental, but normally when I drop off in a race, I always think about what I did in the race and what I did weeks before the race. Because if you decide to stop, it's not for the day. It's because before the race, you did something that it was not good. Maybe the training, maybe your mental coach, or maybe your nutrition, something before the race was wrong. And I think that when you decide to stop, it's not only for the race, it's more about the balance in general in your life.
And for example, before that race, since you were injured, did you think about not do the race?
I was thinking, but it was UTMB.
Okay.
And I prefer to make the risk. If this happened in Chanti or in other race in the world, I don't start. Okay. But it was UTMB. I knew that 20% of possibilities could be a good position or could be a finish line or could be the goal of this race. And the 80% it was the situation that happened, that it was a stop.
And do you feel you learned something about this experience?
Well, I feel that maybe before the race, if the doctors say, we have to do this in your knee, I prefer to run with some problems in my knee, but run and finish. The doctors say, okay, Pau, we have to do this in your knee. I say, okay, do it. But maybe the next time I will say, no, I prefer to run with some pain in the knee, but run without infections.
Okay.
And in your case, what main difficulties have you experienced in your running?
I have a lot of stomach problems.
Okay.
Yeah. But a part of that is... normally it's fine. Last year I have an injury that leads me to stop running for around 6-7 months. But it's part of it. And it was a good thing because it makes me questioning a lot of things, like why I like running that much. So I think it was more a positive thing than a negative one. I mean, I know what I have to do, what I don't have to do. But at the same time, for example, if I'm in a new place and I want to taste something, that is not common in my daily nutrition, I know that it's going to be painful.
If I have a bottle of wine in Chanti and I have to drink, I drink.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the thing. That's why I'm telling you, I like to taste things. So, it can be painful, but I can manage it. Yeah.
You prefer to live good.
Exactly. Exactly. Because as I told you, I'm not looking for a performance. I'm just looking to enjoy the moment. What's the first piece of advice you give to the athletes you coach?
The first one is we are going to run 10 minutes. Because normally the people say, I want to run 2 hours. I say, no, First one is 10 minutes and then we do a test in a laboratory and we will see what I have in front of me. What athlete are you? What is your heart rate? What is your health? And then we will decide if we can compete in 20 and 10, in 50 or 100. And also depending the experience. But today we think that we are superhumans and we are humans. And sometimes this is the big mistake that I see. I would like to talk about more personal subjects. So here's a sound extract from a special moment for you.
La recommandation c'est de 14 jours de confinement du moment quand vous avez eu le prélèvement. 14 jours de confinement. 14 jours de confinement. 14 jours de confinement.
It's not obvious, but it's my positive COVID results.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, and I received the results by a vocal, and I found that pretty funny. So I decided to make a remix with my roommate in that period, yeah, since we were having a lot of time lockdown. Yeah. So yeah, we did that.
Apart from musical composition, what are your favorite activities or hobbies when you have free time between your sports practice and your work?
I love everything manual, like painting, cooking. I love to cook. And yeah, I think it's the main hobbies I have besides sports. You recently become father of a little girl. How have you found your balance between your professional activities, family and ultra trail running?
I have the best wife in my side. So, and yeah, she is really good. And for me, it's important sleep in this case and rest. So in the night, she helps me a lot. And then during the day, I try to be with them, with these two princes. So Julia is only 1 month and a half, so he's really young. We are traveling with she, so I think it's important for us to have a normal life like we had a month ago. Mm-hmm. But then we need more time. So maybe if we want to move in a city, I don't know, 2 years ago we did in 1 hour, now we will do in 2 hours. And so the life changed a lot on this way. But then for the other things, we do the same. I run, my wife, she likes to run. So when she goes to run, I'm with Julia and then we change. And yeah, you can do all the things, but obviously you need more time. And you have priorities in your life. And now is the priority. Then some friends say, hey, I have not seen you in the last month. And I say, yeah, but I have my daughter and I love my wife. And if she needs me, I will be there.
Does she train with you sometimes?
Yeah, when I do a normal run, yeah. So she likes and she enjoys a lot. She wants to run in the MCC. So it will be a good moment for she, but we will see.
Okay.
How much do you enjoy life in France? What do you like about it the most? And what are the main differences compared to what you have experienced in the other countries?
I enjoy a lot France. Mm. It's been a life-changing for me since I moved to Paris in a lot of senses. And what I like the most is this independent side I get when I arrived to Paris, because I was living with my parents. Mm. I love them, but it's completely different when you become 100% independent. And the main difference between France and Latin America, I think, is this. I feel that in Latin America, people come to you when you're a foreign person. In Europe, it's the opposite. You have to do the effort to be part of something. It's okay. It's fine for me. But I think that's the main difference.
Yeah.
Apart from sports, what do you do in your spare time?
For today, not a lot of things. I stay with the family. I like to stay with my parents also. And we live in Andorra. So normally we move to Barcelona to see my parents, my brother, my sister, also some friends that they live there. And yeah, when I'm in Andorra, yeah, I love restaurants. So for example, I love to go with my wife and in a good restaurant and eat there. Or yeah, a month ago, we like go to the cinema. Today, it's impossible. We need to choose Netflix or something like this. But yeah, the priorities. Today is my daughter, and see my daughter be happy, and the first smile, the first cry, the first walk, all of this. This is my main priority today.
Do you listen to music during your training or podcasts? If so, what kind?
Yeah, during my training, normally I listen, yeah, music or podcasts. Sometimes I'm really a motivated guy, so I like to listen histories about people that is in a bad life and then is in a good life. Yeah, this kind of stories. But yeah, and music, a lot of music. I like house, I like relaxed music, a lot of music. So I don't have a specific one. And for you to include this more personal chapter, we have to draw a question at random. You go first.
Okay, so the question is, who, historical or contemporary, would you like to have dinner with?
What questions you think we do?
That's a hard one. We'd like to have dinner with Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber? Oh my God.
Honestly, I don't know what it comes to my mind, but I had a period that I was pretty fan of Justin Bieber when I was in college. So yeah, I was super into it. Maybe if I go back in time, it will be my childhood dreaming.
Okay, so it's my turn. Is there anything you would like to change about yourself? For me, too much things. Maybe I would be more taller, maybe, because François Daen ran really fast and he has a big legs and I don't have a big legs. So I need to do 4 steps and he does only 1. So maybe taller. I would have more legs.
It makes you lighter as well. That's a good side.
Yeah.
Okay. Now that we know each other a little bit better, it's time to play a little game. Here are 3 statements about me. Only one of them is true, and you will have to guess it. I had the opportunity to meet celebrities at the luxury hotel where I work. After an excellent meal with friends, Elton John offered me a pair of sunglasses he was wearing that evening. The second one. I took a school midterm dress as Princess Leia with raisins bouncing in my head to replicate her hairstyle. The assignment was to present a fictional Star Wars team race, and I got a super good grade. The third one, I love llamas and collect them in all shapes and forms. Now I have 92 of them, but most of my collection remains in Peru. I only have around 20 with me in Paris. So which one of these 3 statements is true?
The first one, I think.
Because,
no.
Yeah, the truth is that I took a midterm dress as Princess Leia with raisins bounce in the head.
But I know that you meet important people.
Yeah, I meet some other person, but not Elton John in particular.
Maybe Justin Bieber?
No.
So it's my turn. When I was 5 or 6, while we were in town with my mother, I escaped her surveillance and crossed the street in the middle of traffic. She was so afraid it would happen again that she then tied a rope around me while walking me like a dog on a leash so it wouldn't happen again. The second one is when I was in my 20s singing at a karaoke party in Barcelona, I was approached by a music producer who thought I had talent. I was still very focused on soccer at the time and didn't follow up. And the third one, I sometimes give talks about my experience as an athlete overcoming physical and psychological challenges. One day, I was on stage with Lionel Messi, and like a child, I asked him for an autograph, which I still have in my office.
I think the true one is the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah. You say you wasn't quiet, so... Yeah. Okay.
It's true. The first one is true. So when I was young, I needed to move all the time, maybe because we were 3 brothers with my mother and I needed attention. So I wanted to move all the time to have this attention. And yeah, one day I escaped and I crossed the main street in my town. The cars were all the time crossing there and didn't happen. So maybe I could die or not. So this day I didn't die. And after that, my mother says with a rope every day, Pau, I have this. If you move a lot. So sometimes I had to be a doctor.
Lovely. So now we come to the question from the UTMB World Series community received on social media. This is a question from Mark. What's your take on mental preparation? Do you use it for ultra racing?
Yeah, I have a coach also for it. And yeah, I need a coach for mental preparation, more for my life, for the balance of my life, to talk about what is happening in my life and if everything is good or not, or not about the race, not about if I have to run faster in this part or the other part. It's more about my daily, my training, my life in general. But yeah, for me it's important because it's what I said to you before, that if my life is in balance, then in the race I can run well.
You run better. This question is from Farago. What's the hardest thing for you, a day without running or a day with an intensive training session?
Obviously, without running.
Okay.
I need to run every day. Run or practice a sport. Some days I only ride a bicycle, but then I'm doing sport. If I don't do sport, I have a problem because I start to think, I need sport, I need to move, I need to burn this energy and I can't. So I prefer the intensity. I hate, but I prefer the intensity than a day without.
Yeah, at least you spend a little bit of energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the last one is from Judith. What matters the most on finishing an ultramarathon? The nutrition, the specific training, or the support of the aid station?
I think the nutrition is important, but it's not the main. The training is important, but it's more important than the nutrition, but it's not the main. But then the support, for me, it's more important than the other things. I think that if I go in Chianti, for example, that we are alone, I wouldn't run well because I would feel, alone without my family, and I need them. So, yeah, the third one.
So we've come to the end of this discussion. Can you tell us which races you plan to enter in the coming months?
So, yeah, Chianti by UTMB is the first one. Then in 2 weeks, I run in Istria also, the 100 kilometer. Then I run in Menorca, 186 in May. It's on the island, so it's the main road of Menorca. And after that, I run again in the UTMB race in Lavaredo, and after Lavaredo in Mont Blanc, the UTMB. And then, end of the season, normally I run races, but it's different. If UTMB is going well, the rest of the season is easy.
Okay.
If UTMB is not going well, so I have to run some other races to finish well the season.
Okay, so this season, the UTMB is still like the more important race.
Yeah, normally in my season is less to more. So I start with less for preparation, to be ready, to have more volume, kilometers. And then in June, for example, in Lavaredo is important. And in August, in UTMB is the best one because all the people is there.
Okay.
It's the final. And what are your goals for this year, and which race do you dream of taking part in one day?
Goals and running. I'm running the Chicago Marathon in October.
Mm.
Yeah. And I would love to take part of the Sand Marathon one day.
Mm.
Yeah.
We'll travel.
It's not that far from Paris, and it's in Morocco.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would like to take part of this race with my father. So
okay.
I'm trying to convince him to do that.
And he's training or not?
No, but he's pretty sportive.
Okay.
So I think he can manage it.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I have a podcast. And for me, it's my first time that I do an interview to one girl that I don't meet before. So in the podcast that I have, I do interviews to a professional athletes.
Okay.
But maybe I will repeat this kind of interview with some people because it was,
good
for me,
to
in
hear.
English, it's complicated in English. I told you in the start, but it was a pleasure to know your history and to know that sometimes we are not far than we think that we are.
Yeah.
And we are more close than maybe we think. And I wish you the best in your race, 21K. I will wait you in the finish line.
Really?
With a couple of wine, with a bottle.
Please, wine, please.
And I will be there.
Oh, that's touching me.
Sure.
Well, and it's the first time I have the opportunity to talk in a deep way with a professional one. They look, as you say, pretty far from what you do. They sometimes look like aliens, you know. But they're still humans. So you're proving it. So it's beautiful.
We're normal.
And that's it for today. We hope you had a great time and that you're feeling inspired to go out for a run. If so, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and share this episode with your friends, colleagues, or trail partners. Subscribe so you don't miss our upcoming episodes. We'll see you next month for another encounter.
Todas las personas que vienen puntúan 11 sobre 10.
¿En qué?
En la persona. ¿Ah? Para mí tú serías una 11 sobre 10. Y en el cole siempre damos el 10, ¿no?
Claro, ya.
Pues todos los que vienen para mí son más de 10.
Okay.